and we see his mother there, and it's fitting that that's the beginning of his public ministry, his first miracle as recorded in the Gospel of John. And there his mother is with him, and I'm sure Rob Lindsay, I'm sure his mom was there at the wedding, and that's a special day, a wedding day for a mom, and that was a special day. And when we come to this wedding and the miracle that he did, the Bible says he turned the water into wine. And let me just say by way of introduction that I don't believe that he turned the water into alcoholic wine. Amen. There are two kinds of wine in the Bible. There's alcoholic and non-alcoholic. And when we take the Lord's table, leaven is a picture of sin. That's why we eat unleavened bread. There's no leaven in the bread because leaven is a picture of sin. The body of Christ had no sin. And the blood of Christ had no corruption, right? It's perfect blood. And so why would you have a corrupting, fermenting agent in it, which that's what alcoholic wine is. And so, no, I don't believe it was. I believe it was fresh, squeezed wine of the grape. And that's what the man drank. And he was impressed with the quality of the taste of it. And he said something that's going to be the basis for the sermon this morning at this point. He said, you know, most people serve the best fruit of the vine at the beginning of the wedding to make an impression. But you have saved the best till last. And this was the first ministry miracle of Jesus. And the wine that he made was the best. And he saved the best till last. And that's what I want to preach on this Mother's Day, that your best blessing is last. Your best blessing is last. And I want to talk about blessings. And you know, the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And I'm sure mothers here, they have many blessings that they can share. And many, many blessings. And for the blessings, I'd like to turn to 2 Corinthians 1. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians 1. But I want to do something this morning. And mothers, can I do this with your permission? Can I say that I would like to share blessings that are not only for mothers, but blessings that are permanent spiritual blessings for every born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That these are blessings on this Mother's Day that no matter who you are, whether a mother or not a mother, a male or a female, young or old, if you are a believer in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, these blessings are for you. And you can count them as yours and name them one by one. And I want to look at some of these blessings that we have because we're believers in Christ. And I want to say to you, number one, they're permanent. Number two, they're spiritual blessings. And so they're never going to change. They can never be taken away. They don't vary between one believer and the next. So if you're a strong believer, you get it. If you're a weak believer, you don't get it. If you're a believer, if you're a born-again Christian, these are yours. Mother, father, child, they're yours. And I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians 1 and look at verses 20 through 22 for these blessings and for the message this morning. First of all, I'm going to read verse 20. It says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. And I want to say, firstly, that the best and last blessings come after all of your promised permanent spiritual blessings that are listed here. So we're going to talk about the last blessing that you get in the Christian life last. That last blessing will come after all of these blessings that I mentioned today become yours the moment you believe upon Jesus Christ. You say, well, are all of these blessings mine, even if I don't understand them or if I don't realize them? Yes, they're yours if you're a believer, because the Bible is very clear that the Christian life is finding out what you have when you believed on Christ and claiming it by faith. So today I want to take out what you have and let you claim it by faith and look at it. And the first thing I want to say is that these blessings are positively promised to all that receive Christ. And that's what it says in verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea and amen unto the glory of God by us. Now, if you have a rich father, you are born rich. If you have a rich father, you're born rich. If you were born a son of Elon Musk, you would have a lot of money. He's, I think, the second richest man in the world, a multi-billionaire, right? And we have only really two fathers of the human race. There's only two fathers of the human race. One is poor and the other's rich. The poor one is our old man, and his name is Adam. And he's called our old man because Adam was our first father of the whole human race. All the DNA comes from him and Mary. And not Mary, Eve. Sorry. And Adam is poor. Why is he poor? Because the Bible says basically sin makes you poor. Amen? Sin makes you poor. And when Adam sinned, he lost his inheritance. Every bit of it. He squandered it. So we were born paupers. We were born on a borrowed earth that it wasn't ours, and only to live here for very temporary and then to die and go to hell. And if you're born from Adam and you've never been born again through faith in Jesus Christ, you're a pauper. Even if you're Elon Musk's son, you're a pauper. You can't take it with you. You would die one day and will die one day and forfeit the right to life, and you'll go to hell, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so we are all born from our first father, Adam, as paupers. But the Bible said God appeared to Adam and Eve after they sinned, and he said that the woman is going to have a baby. And that baby is going to be the last father that will make everyone who comes to him rich. And he's called the seed of the woman, capital S, amen? He's called the savior of the world. And he was born from a woman who was born from the woman Israel, the nation, and he was born from the virgin because he had no human father, amen? He didn't inherit the sin nature from Adam. He had his father was God, who made her pregnant by a holy miracle, and he was born of a woman. On this Mother's Day, it's great to remember that motherhood is highly exalted, because if it were not for a mother, we wouldn't have the riches that we have today through the son of the woman, as far as his human nature is concerned. And so, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he's called the last Adam in the Bible, you are rich. And whether you have temporal riches or not, it doesn't matter, because you have permanent spiritual blessings that are better than any temporal wealth that you could have. And the Bible puts it this way, all of the promises in him, speaking of Christ, are yea or yes, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. In other words, that all of these blessings are paid for by a very rich Savior who gave up his wealth in heaven to come to earth to live a poor life on earth, so that he could give us his own blood to pay for our sins, and he could give us the free gift of an eternal inheritance. And I'm so glad when I was 17, I received him by faith as my Savior. And I had that inheritance. And I can agree with Dr. Billy Graham, who said, if somebody says to you, someday I heard Billy Graham died, you say, that's not true. He just changed his address. And Marlene, he's now living in a different address. I would like to be up there at 7,000 Golden Way. Amen. Whatever that address is, that is where you go now, if and when you die. And so the best and last blessing that I'm going to end this message with comes after all of these promised permanent spiritual blessings that are listed here are given. And they're sure to everyone, because once you accept Jesus Christ, they're all paid for. He paid them ahead for you. And they're there, and what a wonderful thing that is. Well, I want to look at these blessings, and they're listed in 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 as well. So let me look at 1:21 first and look at these blessings. It says, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So I want you to notice the first blessing that every one of us who are believers has as great riches is God establishes you. That means God establishes you by uniting you permanently and spiritually through to Christ. Now, what does it mean to be united to Christ? Well, it's like getting married. Let's say a very poor lady marries a very rich man. On the day that she says, I do, she's rich. Amen. Temporal blessings. She's a rich lady. Some ladies literally have read books on how to land a rich man. I talked to a lady one time. She said, I'm reading a book, How to Land a Rich Man. So I know whereof I speak. And I said, I don't know if that's such a good idea for you, because the guy may be rich, but he may be a something else. And you don't want that. And you better make sure he's rich in the Lord. Amen. Because, you know, you shouldn't be married to an unbeliever. But the Bible says, the moment you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you are established in Christ with everybody else. And that means that you're established and you're united to Christ, and that establishes you. And you say, well, what does that mean, that established me? It puts you on a solid foundation. A lot of times I walk around, I say, I am so thankful I'm on a solid foundation. I remember years ago, we were at Providence Road, 1125 Providence Road. That's where we live. And right down from our house, a guy had a great big power machine. And it was like a steam shovel, Brother Bob. And he was digging under the ground at a place called White's. It was White's over there by Kapow's. And he was digging, and all of a sudden, boom, he went down about 300 feet below the surface of the earth. His wife was coming to bring him lunch, and she never got to give him the lunch. And they never found him. They never opened his grave. He was way down under the ground. Why? Because Scranton is made out of caves that were dug out because they had left coal deposits under Scranton as big columns to hold up the city. And they got greedy, and they dug into the coal, and they wanted to use it. And so Scranton started caving in different places, and that was a case in point. I'm so glad that I'm not going to cave in and go down to hell someday. Amen. You say, why not? Because I'm not in Adam, my first poor father. I'm in Jesus Christ, and I'm rich.
Amen.
And so are you if your faith is in Christ, and so you're established on a solid foundation. I remember my grandmother saying to me many years ago, my Grand Mabel, my mom is here, this was her mom. I remember her saying to me, Randy, she said, how you treat a woman will determine how she is. She said, a woman is like a flower, Randy. She needs water and she needs sunlight, and she'll open up to you. But if you withhold the water and the sunlight, she will close up to you. A woman needs warmth. A woman needs love, she said. She said a woman is a responder. And so you, and the woman was very wise. My grandmother was very wise. Now her son, I worked with her son, my uncle, my mom's brother. And my uncle was not quite so wise as his mom. And I remember working with my uncle, who was a good plasterer. He used to plaster homes. And I was about 17 working with him. And then later I worked with him again a little bit. But I was 17 at the time. And then 19 I worked in Muskegon. But I was 17. And I remember he was driving a truck, and he had all his plaster equipment. He'd have beer sitting between him, a bottle of beer. He'd be driving, my Uncle Gil. And he looked at me, and he's going to give me some counsel about women. And he said, "Randy, I want to just tell you this." He said, "Women are flaky." And he's driving along. I put that in my mind. Women are flaky. Okay. And so, you know, I think about that, and I think about my Uncle Gil, that he married this woman. He had a great home. He bought a home. He had kids, and he had a wife that kept the home and made the meals and just took good care of that family. A wonderful wife he had. But my Uncle Gil, he got into drinking, and he got into women, plural. And you know what? One day she gave him bacon and eggs, and he told me this. He said, "She served me bacon and eggs, and with that she put the divorce papers down there. And she left with some rich businessman and went out west, and that's been the end of it." Well, you see, that woman wasn't established with my uncle. She was married to a man who said women are flaky, but that may be so, but he was flaky at that point, you see? Not established. And so if I was not established by Jesus Christ, I would be flaky, amen? I'm sure. And so it's Jesus Christ that makes you firm and establish. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, as Mrs. Bajeski saying, the word of God tells you, you're fixed on a firm foundation, and that firm foundation is Jesus Christ, and that helps me to be faithful to my wife, to be faithful to my calling, to be faithful to my God, to be, because I'm established in Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying here, that he's blessed you with. Now, secondly, your best and lasting blessing that comes afterward, that we'll talk about, comes not only after you're being established, but after you're being anointed Christ. Anointed. You know, you hear that word a lot. Oh, you're anointed, you know. And usually it's a great preacher and preaching of the word. And there's a place for that. But really, being anointed, as I'm going to preach it to you today, is true of you if you're a believer. It's true of every believer that you are anointed. And, you know, in the Bible, anointing oil was used in the Old Testament to anoint or to pour oil upon the head of a king. It was used to pour oil or anoint a prophet or a priest or a special servant of God. And the apostle, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit now, borrows that for another one of these blessings that every believer in Jesus Christ has. The Bible says that you're anointed. And when you look at that, being anointed, he's not talking about necessarily you had olive oil poured on your head. Although we do that in the New Testament when somebody comes to the pastor to pray, and it's a symbol of the Holy Spirit is the one that heals you. But the anointing here is a spiritual pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And this anointing historically began on the day of Pentecost. The book of Acts is a transitional period. And since the book of Acts and this anointing that was given to some believers on the day of Pentecost and other believers through the book of Acts, now the Bible says that every believer in Jesus Christ has this anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. You know, we had a guy named Robert that Brother Eric Zukowski led to the Lord, and he came to our men's revival seekers prayer meeting. And Robert was there, and just a couple of weeks ago, Robert was led to the Lord. He got baptized. He joined this church. And he was at the prayer meeting. I said, "This is your first prayer meeting for the men, right?" He said, "Yeah." And he is just as much anointed as Brother Joe Slobodnik, who's been saved for many, many decades. He's just as much anointed with the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Bible says. It says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Romans 8:9. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, born again by belief, by faith in Christ, you are anointed with the indwelling Holy Spirit of Christ. He lives in your spirit, and therefore he lives in your body. From that day forward, whenever that day was in your life, and thank God for that anointing, not with physical oil, but with the spiritual oil of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that anointing with the Holy Spirit gives you two guaranteed spiritual blessings. First of all, listen, you have available to you the power of the Holy Spirit to witness and to serve Christ. You say, "I have available to me as a believer the power of the Holy Spirit to witness or serve Christ." I know I have a young kid here that's on Matthew's bus route, Elijah, right? Elijah's here. And I know Elijah brings his Bible to public school. Elijah has witnessed for Christ at public school. He has the anointing of the Holy Spirit to do that. But so do you, if you're a believer. Man, woman, boy, or girl. You have the anointing of the Holy Spirit that empowers you to witness. And here's what the Bible says in Ephesians 3:20. It says, "Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." What's that power? The power of the Holy Spirit that indwells every believer. And you have access to that power. You say, "Well, how do I access that power?" Prayer and being willing to proclaim the gospel. Praying for that power to be manifest, that's in you, but it's working in you. And then being willing to witness for Jesus Christ. And you can access that power of God, because that power is within you, because you've been anointed with the Holy Spirit the moment you got saved. There is a second blessing that you have available to you, and you have an inward teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, my ministry gift that I received after salvation is pastor teacher. And see, teacher's part of that. But the Bible says that every one of you that are born again, you have an anointing which gives you not only access to witness from the Holy Spirit, but an inward teacher to teach you. And here's what the Bible says in 1 John 2:20. "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. But how about 1 John 2:27? Listen, he says, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth," or remaineth, "in you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." Now, isn't that great? You have an anointing, which here means an inward teacher that teaches you. And I think about the Bible that says some people are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Have you ever met somebody or talked to somebody that's always trying to figure out religion and what's true and what's not, but they never seem to be able to settle? Ever learning, never able. He says you've got a permanent anointing, so you know the truth, because he is the truth. The Holy Spirit is one God with Jesus, two persons, but one God. He knows the truth. And once you've received the Jesus Christ of the Bible, all the other antichrists that come down the pike, you will not sign up for them. You have something within you that tells you, warning flag, something's wrong there. That is a false Christ. Stay away. By the way, a Jehovah false witness is a false Christ. A Mormon is a false Christ. And the coming Antichrist will be the false Christ. And no true believer will take the mark, because you've got the mark of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean you're smarter than somebody else. It doesn't mean that God doesn't use human teachers like pastor teachers, or he wouldn't have put it in the Bible. But it means you have that teacher within you that lets you know the true Christ from the false Christ that are being put out in the world. And some of you, unfortunately, you try to get a mixture in there, and you need to stay away from the admixture of error and look for more pure teaching of the Word of God. But this is the second thing that we're talking about that is a blessing you can count upon as a believer. You're established on a firm foundation with a firm heavenly husband, Jesus Christ, and he'll never move, he'll never divorce you, he'll never leave you poor and penniless, he'll never deny his promises to you. And secondly, not only are you established, but you are anointed. Amen. So that you can witness and serve the Lord and have access to the power of the Holy Spirit that he poured out on Pentecost, but now that every believer has. And you have an inward teacher so that you will not be sucked into the false religion and the false Christ of this wretched world. But thirdly, you have another blessing that comes before the best and the last blessing, and that blessing is found in 2 Corinthians 1, and let's look at it, verse 22, who hath also what? Sealed us. You have the blessing of being sealed in Christ. You know, when Noah was put into the ark, he was, I believe, the last guy to go in, and yet he didn't shut the door. You know, it was too big for him to shut and lock. You know who shut the door and locked it? It was the Lord, God. He locked the door. He locked them in there. Nobody could get in. They may have tried to get in when the flood was there. They couldn't get in. It was too late. By the way, it's too late for you to get saved if you keep rejecting. There comes a time when God will no longer strive with you. It's too late. You say, when is that? I don't know. But he said, my spirit shall not always strive. The Bible says when you hear the gospel of Christ, accept it right away. Don't wait. I think people need to have their head examined if they wait to accept these blessings. But a lot of times they wait, and sometimes because this world seems to them better than the blessings that I'm talking about. But it's not. This world passes away. So accept these blessings, and then you'll be sealed. So sealed means you'll be protected. The Bible says we're sealed until the day of redemption. You say, what's the seal? Again, it's the Holy Spirit. He comes within you and he seals you, and that means he protects you so that the devil can't take away your salvation. You ever see the Wizard of Oz and Dorothy? and the ruby slippers and the wicked witch, and she tried to take those slippers, and as a kid, I never forgot it. Remember the wicked witch, she tried to take Dorothy's slippers, and she went at and went... She couldn't get them. Satan can't get your salvation.
Amen.
His devils can't get your salvation. The world and worldly friends, quote unquote, can't get your salvation. Even to your own sinful nature that causes you to sin and fail God, no doubt every day as a believer, that can't take your salvation from you. Your salvation is sealed to you in Christ. The Holy Spirit will never leave you. Praise God. Your wife may leave you, your husband may leave you, your kids may leave you, but never that. Never. You're protected. You're also a seal identifies. When a king would seal a letter, it identified the letter as coming from the king, and it was to be respected, and only the person the king wanted to have it was to open it, break the seal. And so, nobody else. So, the Holy Spirit is the seal, and He identifies you as a believer. You say, what are you talking about? There are certain birthmarks that every believer has. You say, where do I find those birthmarks? In the book of 1 John. And if you have any one of those birthmarks, you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. One of the birthmarks is that you won't listen to the false antichrist. You'll turn away from them because of the teacher. And so the Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth, you'll turn away from them and go to a true Orthodox Christian teaching on Jesus Christ. You will have certain birthmarks. You will want to hang around believers. There's something wrong with somebody that they always have the world as their friends and they don't have believers as their friends. Because the Bible says that is a characteristic that you love the brethren. If you're another is you have new heroes in your life. At first, you may have had sports heroes and Hollywood heroes and rock stars and you looked up to them. But when you're saved, you're going to look up to godly people. And to Jesus as your... And there are many other birthmarks that are mentioned in 1 John to try to say, have I been born again? And so I'm saying the seal protects you and the seal identifies you. So you have, number one, you're established. Number two, you're anointed. And number three, you're sealed with the Spirit of God. But there's one more blessing that's mentioned here before we get to the best and last. And look at verse 22. It says, who also has sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. So what is this next blessing, this fourth blessing, after you've been sealed and given the anointing and given this permanent solid foundation to stand on, you are given the earnest of the Spirit. Now, what is that? The earnest means a down payment. I've been a landlord and rented apartments. And when I rent an apartment, I say, I want your first month's rent, your security deposit. Or I may say first, last in security, if I'm really being smart. But I want that down, you see. I want that as a down payment. And then I'll know you're in earnest about the rest of it. So God says, look, I'm going to give you the best and last blessing. But I want to show you that I'm in earnest about the inherited blessing that I have for you. I've saved the best blessing for last, friends. And this Mother's Day morning, I want to say to you, if you're saved, you are blessed. If you are saved, you're rich. And you have all of these blessings right now. They're promised to you. And God is saying to you, I'm in dead earnest because I've given you the down payment in the Holy Spirit of God that lives in you, that brings with you these blessings. I am in dead earnest, but I've not yet given you the best blessing. Now, some people say, well, The Bible says with his stripes we are healed. And so I can claim healing of any sickness that I go through because the atonement of Christ guarantees me permanent healing. So I can claim that blessing. But they misunderstand it. Yes, God can heal. He can heal you now. But for one thing, it's not permanent because you're going to get sick again. And there have been people that were even raised from the dead and they died again. Amen. So that's not permanent. But the blessing I'm talking to you about, and the best blessing, is permanent. And you say, well, where's that, preacher? Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Just turn back two chapters. 1 Corinthians 15 now. And go to verse 51. And that's what I want to end this message with. Permanent and best blessing. That the Lord has saved the best till last for you, if you believe, or you're a believer. He says, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, a mystery is a secret that is revealed by God. And the secret is not the resurrection of the body, because that was something that was revealed before this was written. This is a secret that was revealed the moment the Apostle Paul wrote this down. And what is the mystery? What is the secret? Well, I submit to you this morning, it's the permanent and last and best blessing of the believer. Let's go forward. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all what?
Changed.
And then verse 52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, we shall be changed. That's not talking about the seventh trumpet judgment of the book of Revelation. That's talking about the last trumpet that announces all the trumpet and bowl judgments. That announces the day of the Lord. It's the last eschatological trump of God. That announces God's wrath upon the earth, but it also announces the salvation out of this world of everyone that is alive, that's a believer in Christ, and everyone that's dead and buried, that they'll be resurrected. But here's the mystery. If you're alive, your body will be changed in a moment. You say, what are you talking about? You can't travel through space in your mortal body. Thank God for ladies, and sometimes Hollywood ladies, they pay for facelifts. You don't have to. If you don't see the undertaker, you're going to see the uppertaker. Think of my mother's here. I remember my friends telling me, boy, your mother, they whistle at my mother when I was a teenager. Well, my mother's, I'm not going to say her age, but the years take their toll on all of us as we go along. My mother's still a lovely lady. But there's nothing like the beauty treatment of the second coming of Jesus Christ. And no matter how old you are, your body is changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And you're going to make the most beautiful movie star ladies look like nothing compared to the beauty of the resurrected body. There'll be no tooth decay. There'll be no bad smells. There'll be nothing corrupting about that body. It's going to be perfect, and there'll be no sin in that body. That's why the man at the feast said, you've saved the best wine until the end. The best blessing is at the end. I am looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Why? Because I'm going to get a permanent body. When I die, I'll be naked and my soul and spirit will leave my body. But when Jesus comes back, at the same time, dead or alive, you and I that are believers, we're all going to receive the blessing to be like the last Adam, to be like the first fruits of our salvation, to be like the Lord Jesus, not just spiritually, but physically. We'll have glorified bodies. As a kid, I wanted to fly. I'll be able to fly like Superman. Seriously. I always want to eat. I'll still be able to eat. But I won't need a bathroom. Praise God. Listen to me. This is the best blessing. You say, this sounds awful carnal, physical. The Bible says that Christ brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Life is the spiritual part that animates your spirit. Immortality is the salvation of your body. Your spirit has been saved the moment you believe, but your body has not been saved yet. Your body will not be saved until the rapture. Your body will not be saved until the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is the first event being the rapture of that coming. And if you're alive, wow, your body's going to be changed right after your loved ones are raised from the dead. So there's going to be a great reunion. You mothers that are here, if you're separate, one of the hardest things, we have a gold star mother here, of a mother is to be separated from her son, that he went to heaven before she will. That's got to be the hardest thing. Something she always lives with. But at that point, the Bible says those that died will be raised first. And wherever their atoms are, they'll be put all back together. And you will recognize them. Yes, that's my son. Much better looking, but that's my son. And that's my mother. Better looking, but that's my mom. We'll all be together. But first the resurrection of our dead loved ones, and then the change of our body, and then we're taken by angels to meet the Lord right in the air, because he doesn't touch down at the first event of his second coming. We go up, amen, and we go up to meet him in the air. And this is the best and last blessing, and all the others go before that, and this comes out of that, and I'm telling you, he's saving the best for last. So why would you be so foolish as to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ? Why would you turn to the world and say, I want that, when you have no foundation, when you have no anointing, when you have no establishing and sealing, when you have no permanent future to look forward to, except you do have a permanent future, but it's hell and fire and poverty, and you can't take anything with you. Why would you reject Christ? It's simply a refusal to believe. May God help you today to say, with the empty hands of faith, Lord, I receive your offer of an eternal inheritance. I receive, and may you witness to that inheritance, because you have access to that indwelling Holy Spirit to do that, the anointing. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, every eye closed. We've been talking about